Section 2. Reason identifies truth and leads to the solution. Theme: Reason, logic, and observation are required tools to understand reality and to discover and know what is true. If we don't use reason and logic well, we will not be able to identify truth in any domain where observation is inadequate. Section Introduction. We cannot solve problems, especially difficult ones, if we cannot first clearly identify and properly understand them. The tools that we ought to use to identify and describe human relationship and behavior problems and then craft solutions are observation, reason, and logic. If there was ever a time in human history where reason and logic are desperately needed to sort through the mess, that time is now. Unfortunately, most people, including Christians in general, just hang on to their traditions and regularly put reason aside in order to hold to their religious doctrine and the worldview it produces. In spite of their vehement denial, non-theists do as well. That is, they also hold to their existential beliefs, oftentimes in spite of reason and logic. Let's spend a bit of time reviewing, exploring, and learning about reason and logic in order to be able to better evaluate the primary premise of this book, that Christianity is a successful failure. Chapter 6. Reason, Logic, and Truth. Opening questions. How important are reason and logic in determining what is true or false? What role do emotions or feeling play in the process of using reason or logic to determine what is true or false? How does faith fit into with reason and logic? What is the difference between reason and logic? What role should reason and logic play in evaluating God claims? Do reason or logic create anything? Emotionalism rules the day. Anyone who reads the news and is somewhat engaged in the things happening in the U.S. culture at this time, and who uses reason well to evaluate those things, will conclude that reason is out of vogue and emotionalism is in. There are very few voices who use reason well to articulate themselves. Most have a feeling or opinion that they have not thought about thoroughly, and then they voice those opinions as fact. Most can no longer reason well because they have left any objective standard against which to apply reason. The evidence of this is the average guest on the news that tries to defend some political position or policy will usually commit several logical fallacies when trying to defend their position. Most will contradict themselves and will often not even address the problem or questions asked because their opinion is wrong and thus they stay away from reason. Perhaps the most asked question in the U.S. culture at this time is, how do you feel about that? Instead of, what are your reasons for taking that position or holding that belief? The distinction is critical. The former is entirely subjective and emotions driven, while the latter is more objective and reason driven. The former has one's personal view as absolute, while the latter has common principles as the standard. And yet most people regularly engage in the former. One of the significant negative effects of emotionalism is the associated lack of discipline. Discipline requires clarity of knowing right versus wrong and good from bad, as well as strength of will. Without having a clear reason purpose for some task or responsibility, most people will fail at accomplishing that task or responsibility well. Perhaps the best example of this is staying physically fit. Most Americans simply say, I don't feel like exercising, or I don't feel like eating healthy food. This emotional approach to physical health has obvious negative consequences, as the obesity rates and associated diseases and negative physical consequences are running rampant in the U.S. population. Without discipline, people will not excel at anything, for discipline is required to excel. Substituting an emotionally driven life for a belief, purpose, and discipline-driven life will lead to mediocrity at best and ruin at worst. Those who do not use reason well are often locked into an ideological box which does not enable them to see past their box. Yes, there are boxes inside of our cages. Section title: Politics and Reason in the U.S. This is particularly true in the political realm of the U.S. Those who identify as conservatives or part of the right have their doctrine, and liberals or the left have their doctrines, and in large measure each sees the other side as the enemy. Both sides talk right past each other most of the time, seldom intending to significantly examine the merits of the other side. In this way, they act just like religious leaders whose predisposition to divide accounts for the thousands of religious sects that cover the earth. This is not to say that each political ideological camp, conservative or liberal, are not right about individual issues. It is to say, however, that the current animosity over merely a label, left or right, liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican, is extremely destructive. In general, conservatives do better with reason than liberals. Their beliefs are more consistent and stand the test of reason better than some liberal beliefs. Conservatives are more likely to talk about principles or policies in a reasoned fashion, whereas liberals are much more likely to resort to identity politics to defend a position. This is primarily so because conservatives have some standard against which to reason. In general, they are not existential or moral relativists. Most people who take the label conservative have a moral framework from their religion, which they regularly reason from. While many liberals often put reason aside and go with emotionalism or identity politics, conservatives have positions and doctrines that also do not pass the test of reason, usually due to their commitment to other supporting beliefs. Another weakness of conservatism is that conservatives often fail to operate based on the concept of compassion. They put rules over mercy, often for selfish purposes. This tendency is also due to their commitment to the ideology of capitalism or other self-serving or selfish beliefs or ideologies. So, while conservatives in general use reason better than liberals or can defend their beliefs better, they do so assuming that their foundational ideologies, like capitalism, are correct or provide the best solution. Their assumptions and ideologies that they reason from may or may not be true or may not provide the best solution to problems. So, to sum it up, and in general, conservatives do better with reason than liberals, and conservative principles generally align better with the ethic structure that Joshua of Nazareth gave, but liberals have a few morally correct positions and views, which views and positions align with the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth. Unfortunately, most people who self-identify as liberal or progressive cannot defend well why they hold a certain belief because most are existential relativists. We will learn what that is in a bit later in the book. Ironically, many conservatives generally believe themselves to be the God politicians, while many liberals do not. That is ironic and appropriate because of the truth that this book reveals. The conservatives' God is the God of the Bible, particularly the God of the Hebrew Scriptures, the God of war and vengeance and wrath most of the time, and the God of mercy very little of the time. The God of rules and law over the God of compassion. While the true and living God and his representative, his son, very much want peace and love, the very things many contemporary liberals say they're all about. Unfortunately, some contemporary liberals want nothing to do with peace and love, and instead are violent, aggressive, rude or uncivil, and sadly and in large measure, they are not rebuked by their truly peaceful brethren. In this way, they are no different than the violent racists which normally gravitate to the conservative ideology or platform. The simple truth is this book is putting forth the narrow way. In other words, the political ideologies of both camps, liberal and conservative, miss the person and teachings of Joshua of Nazareth. The one who called himself the truth walks, so to speak, right between them, with both sides yelling at him that he is wrong. Can you recall another event where people were yelling at Joshua as he walked between them? They will only refer to Jesus when one of his teachings can be made to fit their position, and often that teaching is taken out of context or is twisted to fit their political dogma. Section title, Religion and Reason. Let's turn the corner and talk about religion and reason. When many people think about religion, they assume that reason does not play a big role in people's religious beliefs, and in general, they are correct. In fact, it is very popular to say things like, reason cannot account for faith, or you must have faith and put reason aside and just believe, or it's not about reason, it's about faith, or other such misleading or erroneous statements. Christians often put reason aside when it is shown that their God beliefs contradict. An example of this is the Christian belief or premises that God is both or all-powerful and all-loving. By all-powerful, they mean that God can and does act and intervene in this realm, our life on the surface of this planet, in our daily human affairs. Thus, the oft-heard phrase, God is in control. However, as we will see in more detail later on, if God is both all-powerful and all-loving, then this world would not be racked with all the human-caused unjust pain and suffering that occurs each day, for that all-powerful God would intervene to prevent the unjust pain and suffering. That is the only reasonable and logical conclusion to those two premises. Non-theists know this, and they rightfully rebuke the religious people for this error. The simple truth is that faith, as we have defined, is simply a core or deep-level trust or confidence in someone or something. In a God context, an additional element to faith exists in that we place our faith or confidence in something we cannot see or directly validate with our senses. When a person places their faith in something, that act is not an act of reason, but rather is an act of faith, trust, or confidence. However, reason does have an important role in faith, and it is this. A person can and should use reason to guide them in deciding who or what to place their faith in. Again, reason and its primary tool of logic should play an important role in terms of what people choose to place their faith in. For example, most people place their faith in themselves, money, and material things. If you view your life and existence in a primarily selfish and materialistic way, then it is reasonable to place your faith in yourself and in money and in the businesses that generate that money, and as you can see, most do. But from a pure existential view, placing our faith in ourselves is foolish, as we shall see, for we do not cause our own existence, and our efforts to preserve our physical lives are often feeble. Ourselves, money, business, careers, or other such things have no power or ability to preserve our existence after our lives run their courses, nor do they have the power to set us free or give us peace and contentment. This book is not going to teach reason and logic extensively. Rather, it will provide an introduction and some basics. More importantly, this book will use reason and logic to present things that are reasonable and which pass the test of logic. In other words, this author's endeavors to use reason and logic well in order to support my premises in this book. However, unless the reader is able and willing to also use reason and logic well, it is unlikely that the reader will arrive at the same conclusions that I put forth. If you believe I err in my use of reason or logic, please contact me with precise reason statements, and if I err, I will correct it. I have observed that we all very much tend to put reason and logic aside when they will not support where we want to go. In other words, if we sense reason and logic pointing us or leading us somewhere that makes us afraid, offends our self-pride, or argues for a selfish life, which typically means we must change something that we do not want to, we will typically abandon reason and logic. We typically only use reason and logic when it will support what we already believe or when it justifies us in some way. This is a terrible and blinding handicap. The three primary faults of our nature work hard against reason and logic. The reason Joshua said we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is because he knew that reason would be a slave to our heart and soul. In other words, he put mind, our metaphysical aspect that uses reason and logic, third after heart and soul instead of first, because if our will or our emotions do not want to find God, then our mind cannot help us. To love the Lord our God with all our mind means to be committed to using reason and logic well to find what is true and right in the spiritual domain. Therefore, let's take a look at gaining better understanding of reason and logic, at least at an introductory level. We will start by defining a few important concepts. Here is Wiki's content for describing reason. Quote, reason is the capacity for consciously making sense of things, applying logic, establishing and verifying facts, and changing or justifying practices institutions, and beliefs based on new or existing information. It is closely associated with such characteristically human activities as philosophy, science, language, mathematics, and art, is normally considered to be a definitive characteristic of human nature. Reason, or an aspect of it, is sometimes referred to as rationality. Reasoning is associated with thinking, cognition, and intellect. Reasoning may be subdivided into forms of logical reasoning, forms associated with the strict sense, deductive reasoning, inductive reasoning, abductive reasoning, and other models of reasoning considered more informal, such as intuitive reasoning and verbal reasoning. Along these lines, a distinction is often drawn between discursive reason, reason proper, and intuitive reason, in which the reasoning process, however valid, tends towards the personal and the opaque. Although in many social and political settings, logical and intuitive modes of reason may clash, in other contexts, intuition and formal reason are seen as complementary rather than adversarial, as, for example, in mathematics, where intuition is often a necessary building block in the creative process of achieving the hardest form of reason, a formal proof. Reason, like habit or intuition, is one of the many ways by which thinking comes from one idea to a related idea. For example, it is the means by which rational beings understand themselves to think about cause and effect, truth and falsehood, and what is good or bad. It is also closely identified with the ability to self-consciously change beliefs, attitudes, traditions, and institutions, and therefore with the capacity for freedom and self-determination. In contrast to reason as an abstract noun, a reason is considered which explains or justifies some event, phenomenon, or behavior. The field of logic studies ways in which human beings reason formally through argument. Unquote. A good short definition of logic would be the art and science of reasoning. Here is Wiki's distinction between reason and logic. The terms logic or logical are sometimes used as if they were identical with the term reason or with the concept of being rational, or sometimes logic is seen as the most pure or the defining form of reason. For example, in modern economics, rational choice is assumed to equate to logically consistent choice. Reason and logic can, however, be thought of as distinct, although logic is one important aspect of reason. Author Douglas Hofstadter characterizes the distinction in this way. Logic is done inside a system, while reason is done outside the system by such methods as skipping steps, working backwards, drawing diagrams, looking at examples, or seeing what happens if you change the rules of the system. Reason is a type of thought, and the word logic involves the attempt to describe rules or norms by which reason operates, so that orderly reasoning can be taught. The oldest surviving writing to explicitly consider the rules by which reason operates are the works of Greek philosopher Aristotle, especially Prior Analysis and Posterior Analysis. Although the ancient Greeks had no separate word for logic as distinct from language and reason, Aristotle's newly coined term, syllogism, identified logic clearly for the first time as a distinct field of study. When Aristotle referred to the logical, he was referring more broadly to rational thought. Unquote. So, to summarize Wiki's content, as well as fill it out a bit, reason is human beings' metaphysical ability, tool, and process to order, sort, distinguish, and clarify things, find truth, in their realms of thought, observation, and experience. Logic is the precise metaphysical rules that our minds use to process concepts, ideas, or beliefs. Logic is like our operating system, while reason is like applications that depend upon our operating system. Our mind is the metaphysical element of our nature that has the capacity to use reason and logic. Subnote: confusion exists due to physicalist belief regarding distinguishing the brain from the mind. The confusion is unwarranted because they are clearly distinct. For example, if you had a team of the world's foremost brain surgeons and experts with all their technology opening up a person's skull to peer into that person's brain, and if that person was conscious and thinking about a strawberry, that team of surgeons and brain experts will never know what that person is thinking about, because human thoughts are metaphysical and inaccessible to others. When a person is thinking about something like a strawberry, there is no physical manifestation in the brain of a strawberry. No little strawberry forms. Certainly the brain hardware produces physical manifestations of the mind or software working that can be measured, like bioelectrical impulses or heat energy. However, heat, physical manifestation, or electrical impulses, physical manifestation, produced by the CPU or the hardware brain, does not amount to knowing what the software is processing, nor does it amount to the output of the computer's logic processing. It is merely an energy manifestation of the CPU or hardware brain, as it were, as it runs the software, which is the mind. Chapter section title, Formal and Informal Logic. The practice of the study of logic has two main components, formal logic and informal logic. Formal logic is about pure reasoning and in the abstract. The definition of abstract is, quote, existing in thought or as an idea but not having a physical concrete evidence, unquote. That's the Oxford Dictionary. So formal logic does not deal with physical entities, but rather concepts, metaphysical things, much like pure mathematics. Formal logic usually focuses on deductive reasoning, which means types of arguments in which the premises apply a necessary conclusion. Here is an example of a deductive argument. Premise 1. All Christians meet in a building they call a church. Premise 2. Pentecostals are Christians. Conclusion. Therefore, Pentecostals meet in a building they call a church. This type of argument is called a syllogism and has the characteristics that the conclusion must be true. Pentecostals meet in a building they call a church, if the premises are true. However, if a premise or both premises are false, then the conclusion will be false even though the form of argument is valid. For example, premise 1, all Christians practice love. Premise 2, a Baptist is a Christian. Conclusion, therefore all Baptists practice love. This argument or syllogism is valid, meaning its form or structure is correct. If it were true that all Christians practice love and a Baptist is a Christian, then it must follow that all Baptists practice love. However, in this syllogism, premise 1 is false, even though the form of the argument is correct or valid. In conclusion, the argument is in a valid form, but one of the premises contains false information. If the premises were true, then the conclusion would also be true, just like in the first example above. The form of premises that lead to a conclusion is very important in formal logic. Please consider this argument. Premise 1, forgiveness is real. Premise 2, forgiveness is not physical. Conclusion, non-physical things like forgiveness are real. Please think about that argument, for it is a very important one, for it essentially just demonstrates that what most people call the scientific worldview is false. More precisely, many people assume that science proves the physicalist worldview, that the only things that are real and exist are physical, meaning things made up of matter and or energy. In contrast to formal logic, informal logic is not so concerned with form or structure, rather it is concerned with arguments made using everyday ordinary language. Informal logic also tends to emphasize inductive reasoning instead of deductive reasoning. The Latin word deducere, which is where the English term derived comes from, means to lead down or away. Therefore, deductive reasoning starts with premises that lead down to a necessary conclusion, just like we did a moment ago with our examples. Deductive reasoning can be described as whole-to-part reasoning. The Latin word inducere, which is the English term induce, comes from, means to lead or bring in. Inductive reasoning can thus be described as part-to-whole reasoning, meaning we begin with particular facts and try to prove a general conclusion. Inductive reasoning involves bringing in certain facts to an argument in an attempt to prove a more general point. Let's use relevant examples to explain these concepts. I may bring in the fact that all Christians I have ever known go to church, and I might say that that observation proves that all Christians go to church. In other words, Inductive reasoning often works toward generalizations that are reasonably accurate but not necessarily absolutely true. Inductive arguments are only more or less probable, not absolutely certain. So in this case, it would be erroneous to state that all Christians go to church, since I do not have perfect and comprehensive knowledge to prove that. In fact, almost all superlatives, like always or never, will falsify statements that include them, at least in everyday usage regarding human behavior. For example, "he is always late" will be a false statement even if the man is late 98% of the time. Thus, when speaking about human behavior, it would be wise to eliminate all superlatives if we were concerned with accurate and truthful statements. Generally speaking, and oftentimes, when we use superlatives, the purpose of the usage of those superlatives will be to hammer another person to try to get them to see something we are trying to communicate. This can often lead to the perception that we are using fighting words, which is not productive. Deductive arguments are either valid or invalid, since they deal with pure metaphysical concepts like mathematics, while inductive arguments are said to be either strong or weak, since they are based on physical entities or events that occur in the physical world. Deductive logic addresses things, concepts, beliefs, metaphysical things that are either black or white, 100% or 0%, while inductive argument deals with shades of gray or probabilities, less than 100% or 0% certainty. Here is a table of summary to contrast the two forms of logic. Formal logic uses deductive reasoning. Informal logic uses inductive reasoning. Formal logic is either valid or invalid. Informal logic is either strong or weak. Formal logic provides certainty given the premises. Informal logic provides probability. Much information from this section was taken from the book The Art of Argument, An Introduction to the Informal Fallacies by Aaron Larson and Joel Hodge. What is interesting when dealing with God claims is that formal logic plays a very important role. Why? Because God claims are mainly conceptual, metaphysical in nature, the strong suit of formal logic. Thus, many of my arguments in this book are deductive in nature. For example, premise 1, God is all-powerful, meaning he can do anything he wants in any realm. Nothing or nobody can stop his will and work. Premise 2, God is all-loving, meaning he cares deeply about the welfare of people and would not want them to come to, at a minimum, unjust harm or suffering. Conclusion, God prevents unjust harm or suffering in this world. As one considers the conclusion, one will, of necessity, identify it as false, meaning the conclusion is not supported by the facts as observed in the real world. Therefore, while the form is correct, there is something false in one or both of the premises, since the conclusion is false. That argument is valid and is deductive in nature. We will take a closer look at the claim of God's all-powerfulness in a later chapter. Next, we will identify the most common logical fallacies that are committed untold number of times each day on this planet in human communication. Chapter summary. It is necessary to use reason and tool logic well to find and know what is true and what is false, especially in regard to claims or concepts that cannot be verified by observation. Emotionalism nullifies, disparages, or ignores reason and logic, and our emotions should not be the basis of our understanding things or our important life decisions. Faith is not opposed to or contradicted by reason and logic. Rather, one should use reason and logic well to understand what is best to place one's faith in. Formal logic uses deductive reasoning and results in true or false conclusions and should be the most important tool to test religious claims, claims that cannot be verified by observation. Informal logic uses inductive reasoning, which results in probability answers instead of certain true-false conclusions. Reason and logic do not create anything new. Rather, they are important tools to sort out what already exists, both physical, reasoning from observation, and metaphysical, deductive reasoning.